بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي My dear respected brothers and elders Alhamdulillah we were going through this chapter which is titled باب الوصية بالنساء The chapter wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, those ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are mentioned, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advising us to be good to our women folk and to treat our women folk with kindness and compassion. So last week I stopped in the middle of a hadith in a particular discussion, but I'll just continue inshallah from that hadith from where I stopped. The hadith was narrated by Sayyidina Amr ibn al-Ahwas al-Jushami radiyallahu anhu. He mentioned that أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حجة الوداع يقول بعد أن حمد الله تعالى وأثنى عليه وذكر ووعظ ثم قال واستوصوا بالنساء خيرا فإنهن عوان عندكم ليس تملكون منهن شيئا غير ذلك إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة فإن فعلنا فهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن ضربا غير مبرح فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا ألا إن لكم على نسائكم حقا ولنسائكم عليكم حقا فحقكم عليهن ألا يؤطئن فرشكم من تكرهون ولا يأذن في بيوتكم لمن تكرهون ألا وحقهن عليكم أن تحسنوا إليهن في كسوتهن وطعامهن رواه الترمذي Sayyidina Amr ibn al-Ahwas al-Jushami radiyallahu anhu narrates that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the final Hajj saying after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering him and after advising the Sahaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a particular piece of advice. He said, أَلَا وَاسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا So this word ala in Arabic is used to draw people's attention. Even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilizes this particle ala to draw the attention when he's about to mention something very, very important. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ala wastawsu bin nisa'i khayran. So he said ala and then he said, wastawsu bin nisa'i khayran. I am advising you to treat your wives with kindness, with goodness. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّمَا هُنَّ عَوَانٍ عِنْدَكُمْ Because your wives are in the position almost as if the same way عَوَانٌ in Arabic translates as slaves. So what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the same way a slave, when the master owns a slave, the slave does not have the free will to just leave the master. Similarly, the system is such that when a husband and wife are married, until the husband does not issue the talaq, the wife cannot go. So this is in a form that the wife is kind of tied to her husband, bound to her husband. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, your wives are bound to you. They are connected to you, they are attached to you. They cannot just go from their free will until you mention the talaq with your mouths. So remember that they are in a very difficult situation, in a very difficult predicament. So treat them with kindness, treat them with goodness. لَيْسَ تَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُنَّ شَيْئًا غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that you do not own anything else from your wife apart from this. Apart from the fact that Shariat Islam has allowed you to utilize your wife in certain ways, apart from that you do not own your wife. You cannot tell her what to do and you cannot be harsh and be strict with her. إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ There are children here and this is a discussion which is a bit more sensitive. إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ Unless you see something which is very clearly wrong or very clearly a sin, which you see that a person sees that their wife commits something which is a clear sin, clear transgression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this happens, then فَإِنْ فَعَلْنَا فَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ ضَرْبًا غَيْرَ مُبَرَّحٍ So this is where I stopped last week. But if a person sees that their wife A husband and wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in pairs. And Allah Ta'ala mentions that this is from the signs of Allah Ta'ala's greatness and the fact that Allah is a creator, that He has created you in pairs and He has created muhabba and love between yourselves. So now remember, there was a time when the wife or a daughter would be looked after by her parents till she reached an age of maturity, after which she would be handed over to the husband. And the husband would look after her. And the husband would be responsible for the clothing of the wife, for the food of the wife, for having a shelter over the a roof over the head of the wife. All of this would be the responsibility of the husband. Nowadays society is a little bit different. It doesn't operate in exactly the same way, because even if a girl was not to go into the house of her husband, she could still look after herself, or she could still work and she could do many things. So the cogs of society are a little bit different. It's not exactly the same. So therefore in the Quran, when this discussion has happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions here that if a person feels from their wife, they either see some clear sin, some clear transgression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the wife is not listening to her husband at all, or not establishing good connection or good ties with her husband, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying fahjuruhunna fil madaji', then separate the beddings, separate the bedding of the wife. وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ غَيْرًا ضَرْبًا غَيْرًا مُبَرَّحِينَ. And if this does not work, then Shariat has given permission for... I have to be very careful. It's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we'll mention it inshaAllah. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, permission has been given to hit without leaving any mark. Permission has been given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to hit without leaving any mark. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying this from his own side. This is the explanation of the verse of the Qur'an. In the Qur'an, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses الْرِجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاللَّاتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَعِظُوهُنَّ وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. If you see that your wife is totally not listening to you, or totally disrespecting you or disregarding you, so to try and bring her back, to try and fix your relationship, Allah Ta'ala says, فَعِظُوهُنَّ, advise her. فَعِظُوهُنَّ, advise her. If by advising her this does not work, Allah Ta'ala says the next step is وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ, separate the bedding. And then if this separating the bedding does not work, your wife is not bonding with you, the connection is not being established, the love is not being rekindled, then وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. Then Allah Ta'ala is saying permission has been given to hit. Right? This has been mentioned in the Quran. We cannot deny this. We cannot deny this. Anything that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, we say it very explicitly and very clearly, because something Allah Ta'ala has said. A person cannot hide what the Quran has said. Our religion is not like the religion of the Christians and the Jews, that they change their scriptures. We're not allowed to change our scriptures. So this has been mentioned. But here is something that we need to listen to very carefully and understand. It's very, very important. First of all, there's a tartib here. There's an order here, a system here. Allah Ta'ala is saying, initially, if a husband and wife feel that their marriage is not working, then the husband should try and advise his wife. And he says, Allah Ta'ala is saying that the fault lies with the wife. That the husband sees nushuz from her, clear disobedience, clear she is doing something which is sinful, which is affecting the marriage. That he feels he cannot live with this woman anymore. So what should he do? He should advise her. And if by advising her again and again and again, she changes or she corrects her ways a little bit, then he should have patience and carry on. But if he feels that advising is not working, then he should take more stricter measures, which are separate the bedding. Now, if after separating the bedding, and remember one thing is very important here, if by advising her this works and the marriage is stable, then you are not allowed to go beyond that. All the ulama have written that it is wajib to stop there, you're not allowed to go beyond that. Separate the bedding and then thereafter. But if this does not work, then separate the bedding. If separating the bedding does not work, then permission has been given for darb, which literally translates as hitting. But here there's something which is very interesting. Even though this has been mentioned, and we do not deny this, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just from the actions of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever, all the scholars of Shama'il, all the scholars who have written the Shama'il and the characteristics of Rasulullah have mentioned sallallahu alaihi wasallam that ma daraba imra'atan qattu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever laid his hands on a woman. And he never ever laid his hands on a child, and he never ever laid his hands on a khadim, a servant. Illa in yujahida fi sabilillah, unless he was in jihad in the path of Allah, because the situation changes. Otherwise, Rasulullah never hit a woman, never hit a child. And you see so many ahadith when the women would come, and this hadith is going to come today, maybe I'll discuss it as well, inshallah, that women came to the houses of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they complained about their husbands hitting them. So Rasulullah initially said, nobody is allowed to hit their wives. Nobody is allowed to hit their wives. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse in the Qur'an. And after Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse in the Qur'an, then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, you said we're not allowed to reprimand our wives or do anything to our wives, but our wives are now being very, very audacious and saying many things which are displeasing us. So then Rasulullah said, okay, you may hit, but remember, you know, bear in mind that a person may not, because by hitting, remember, think about it, if a person hits another person, especially a wife, especially a woman, there's very little chance that that marriage is going to last, especially in this day and age. So even though this ayat is there, but there's a tartib and an order. And the ulama explicitly say that if you fear that by separating the bedding, the marriage is not going to work, it's not going to be fixed. Similarly, by hitting, you're not going to fix the situation. Then you have to go to the next step, which is call your family members, call her family members, sit down and discuss that how can we move forward. Should we carry on or should we separate? And if after that it doesn't work, then you should separate. But you should never make such a mistake or never make such an error which you know will cause the marriage to end anyway. And in our day and age especially, a person, he knows that if I lay my hands on my wife, the situation is not going to get better. The love which is supposed to be in the heart is not going to be rekindled. It will die, it will finish. There'll be no more love in that marriage. Either my wife will be forced to live with me or she will just divorce me. Because this is the country that we live in and this is the day and the age that we live in. And that's why it's very interesting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, even if a person acts upon this ayat and hits his wife to reprimand her, then make sure the hitting is such that it's غَيْرَ مُبَرَّحَ, that you do not leave any mark. And all the scholars of tafsir, the things they mention, it makes you really amazed. When the scholars of tafsir wrote their books of tafsir, there were no women's rights and it wasn't the 21st century and they didn't have to consider all of these things. But they still write that when a person, even if a person is disciplining their wife, and they come to the stage where they feel like they have to hit her to discipline her and they feel that this will help their marriage, then make sure they do it with a napkin which is rolled up. They do it with a napkin which is rolled up. Or they do it with their hand but they do not use any stick, or they do not do it in a way where they leave any mark. They avoid her face. And they put so many conditions. Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi in his Tafsir al-Kabir, he mentions, Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi is a 1,000-year-old mufassir. He lived 1,000 years ago, when they didn't have to worry about what they said, whether they were politically correct or politically incorrect. They didn't have to worry about any of this. Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi says, if you feel that this hitting is not going to work, then it's necessary to stay away from it. Shariat does not advise this, Shariat does not want this. It's the same way wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ أَبْغَضَ النِّكَاحِ إِنَّ أَبْغَضَ الْحَلَالِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ, that the thing which is halal, however, it's the most disliked of all the halal things, is talaq. Allah Ta'ala dislikes it the most, even though it's halal. But permission has been given, because if talaq does not happen, then many times husband and wife cannot move on. They are not compatible for each other. Even, many of the Sahaba, they gave talaq to their wives because there's no compatibility. Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu gave talaq to his wife, who was the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Sayyidatuna Asma bint Abi Bakrin radiallahu anha. Sayyidina Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu gave talaq to his wife Sayyidatuna Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha. The Sahaba gave talaq to each other. Because many times the compatibility is not there. And we do not get married the same way many people get married when they get to know each other for a very, very, very long time. And even if you follow that process, it does not mean that there will be a stable and happy marriage. After 1 year, after 2 years, after 3 years, many faults will come out that you did not know existed. And remember the shaitan, and then there's your nafs, and then every single person is different. Someone may be very pious and someone may not be so. So he may see a fault which another person may not have seen. You know, so every single person is different. So Allah Ta'ala has given permission. If you're not happy, you're allowed to separate. And you're allowed to move on. So similarly, this permission has been given. But if a person feels and knows, and in this society, in this day and age, we know that by utilizing this method, you are not going to fix your marriage. So then a person should not practice upon that particular method. He should try advising his wife. And he should try, if separating the bedding works, he can try that. If that doesn't work and he knows that's not going to work and it's going to cause more frustration, more anger, then he shouldn't even utilize that method. He should go straight on to the next step, which is calling the family members, having a final sit down and saying, look, these are the issues. The husband says, these are the issues that I have with the wife. The wife says, these are the issues I have with the husband. See if they can find some kind of a resolve and some kind of way to move forward. Or visit a person who both the husband and wife respect, some scholar, some imam, someone, and find a way to move forward. But do not let there be issues. Many times when people phone for marriage issues, husband and wife, it's always they've let these issues be there for many, many, many years. And now it's become so sour, their relationship, and there's a bitter taste in the mouth of both the husband and the wife, or either one of them, that they just despise the other person. They hate them. Now, if you hate the person you live with, how is there going to be any happiness there? You can't just change that, convert that into happiness. It doesn't work. So when these issues, when the roots of these issues are realized, a person straight away needs to get help there and then. If the husband feels from the beginning of marriage, like I had a friend who phoned me some issue about his wife. He phoned me straight away, like literally one or two months into his marriage, that this issue. He said, look, if I don't resolve this issue now, I won't be happy in my marriage. And that's what the sensible thing to do. A person feels, same with a wife. Wife sees some issues in her husband. If you cannot resolve it there and then that marriage is going to be poisonous. And we see this. And we see many times that nowadays it's happening because 20, 30 years ago, many parents forced their children into marriages. And the wives hated the husbands that they were living with. Right? Many times the wives hated the husbands they were living with. They were coming from Pakistan or Bangladesh or India or wherever. And the wives, they could not stand them. But they didn't have a say in the marriage. And we see this, and whenever these women now talk 20, 30 years later, they talk poison. They despise their husband. When they talk to their children, they're only always talking bad about their children's father. They're going to be doing this because they do not like their husband, but they've been forced into this relationship. So that is not a happy marriage. And that's a marriage that's going to have bad implications upon the children as well. Children, you know, if they're close to their mother, they will hate their father. If they're close to their father, they will hate their mother. And this is a very serious, toxic relationship. So these problems need to be resolved from the beginning. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions this, فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. If they obey you, then do not oppress them in any way. Meaning, if they obey you after advising them, then do not go to the next stage. If they obey you, or if the marriage is become stable after separating the bedding, then do not go to the next step. Do not go to the next step if the first step works. Imam Razi makes this very clear in his tafsir, that if after advising that everything is resolved, then don't go to the next step. Unless you feel that by doing that, there's a chance that the marriage will improve. But like I said, in our society, you have to consider what every person is and how we've been influenced by our society. You know that by going to these stages, there's going to be no happiness that comes from it. It's going to get worse. So go into the next step, which is sit down with people who may be able to help you. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ala inna lakum ala nisa'ikum haqqa." Remember that indeed your women have rights over you. Indeed you have rights over your women, meaning you women need to fulfill your rights. "Wali nisa'ikum alaykum haqqa," and you need to fulfill the rights of your women. فَحَقُّكُمْ عَلَيْهِنَّ أَلَّا يُطِئْنَ فُرُوشَكُمْ مَنْ تَكْرَهُونَ وَلَا يَأْذَنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لِمَنْ تَكْرَهُونَ. So the rights of the women over her husband, the entire chapter will come next about the rights of the wife over the husband. But very briefly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the rights of your wives over you is that they should not let any strangers come to the house. وَلَا يَأْذَنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لِمَنْ تَكْرَهُونَ. Both of these sentences mean similar meanings, that they should not allow non-mahram, you can say non-mahram men, or people that you do not like, even mahram men, ulama have explained, if there's a mahram man who you do not want to be with alone with your wife, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning this because amongst the Arabs, that culture was there, that many of, in our culture, it exists now as well, that many times men and women are mixing together, especially men who are not supposed to be with certain women, they are not their mahram. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, it's the right of the husband that if he is not at home, then his wife should not allow any strange people into the home. Even if it's a mahram, if it's someone the husband does not dislike, then it's wajib for her not to allow him, allow that person into the house until she asks her husband that this person is here, can I allow him into the house? This is her right that she has to fulfill. And then, أَلَا وَحَقُّهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُحْسِنُوا إِلَيْهِنَّ فِي كِسْوَتِهِنَّ وَطَعَامِهِنَّ. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, their rights over you, meaning your wife's rights that you have to fulfill, is that you should be good towards them في كسوتهن وطعامهن, in terms of their clothing and in terms of their food. That your responsibility is that you clothe them and you feed them, and you provide a roof over their heads as well and shelter for them. But remember here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not saying you need to spend a lot of money on food and a lot of money on clothing. So this is according to a person's istita'a, according to a person's capability. However much you are capable of doing, you do that. And you've clothed, you have given clothing to your wife, you could provide clothing, provide food to your wife, provide a shelter for her, roof over her head. This is what is necessary for you. Beyond that, if your wife has expectations, I need this particular type of food, which is very expensive, particular type of clothing, very expensive, I need to live in a certain type of a house, which is very expensive, this is not necessary for you to do. And this is somewhere where she has to also draw a line and understand this is not her right. This is not her right. Her right is for you to provide the essentials for her, not beyond that. Now if a person does that out of kindness and Allah has given him wealth and he does this, this is perfectly fine. But if Allah has not given him that ability and the wife still demands that of him, then that now this becomes zulm and this becomes oppression from the wife. And the wife will be sinful for this. Inshallah, we'll do one or two more hadith, inshallah, and we'll quickly finish. Sayyidina Muawiyah ibn Haydar radiallahu anhu, he narrates, sorry, that hadith was narrated by Imam At-Tirmidhi in his kitab. Muawiyah ibn Haydar radiallahu anhu, he narrates, لَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا حَقُّ زَوْجَةِ أَحَدِنَا عَلَيْهِ قَالَ أَن تُطْعِمَهَا إِذَا طَعِمْتَ وَتَكْسُوَهَا إِذَا اكْتَسَيْتَ وَلَا تَضْرِبِ الْوَجْهَ وَلَا تُقَبِّهِ وَلَا تَهْجُرْ إِلَّا فِي الْبَيْتِ. Sayyidina Muawiyah ibn Haydar radiallahu anhu, he says, I asked Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the right of the wife over one of us? What rights do we have to fulfill of our wives? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, أَن تُطْعِمَهَا إِذَا طَعِمْتَ. When you eat your food, you provide food for her, meaning you provide food for her. وَتَكْسُوَهَا إِذَا اكْتَسَيْتَ. When you clothe yourself, meaning the same way you purchase clothes for yourself to adorn yourself with, similarly you buy clothes for your wife. وَلَا تَضْرِبِ الْوَجْهَ وَلَا تُقَبِّهِ. If ever the need comes where a person lays his hand upon his wife, like I've mentioned, is something that a person should stay away from. Islam tells us to stay away from this. Allah Ta'ala has given the permission in the Quran only if that is going to make the marriage work. If the marriage is not going to work, then you stay away from this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, if the nawba, or if the if it comes to that point where a person feels that they have to lay hands upon their wife, then la tadribil wajha, do not lay hands on the face of your wife. Wala tuqabbih, and do not قَبَّحَ يُقَبِّحُ تَقْبِيحُ, means when a person says to someone that you are ugly, I don't like you, I don't like this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, don't speak like that to your wife. Don't say you've got this fault in you, I can't stand your face, you are like this, you have this. Don't speak like in this particular manner to your wife. وَلَا تَحْجُرْ إِلَّا فِي الْبَيْتِ, and do not separate from her except in the house. Meaning even if you do not want to, for some reason, the wife is extremely disobedient to the husband and she's extremely causing serious issues and problems in the marriage, then the husband says, you know, I can't, we need to separate our bedding. Then do it in the house. If you do it in the house, you are still feeding her, you are still giving her clothes, you are still providing a roof over her head. It's just that you are also just being separate from each other. Do not send her away somewhere else. Because if you send her away somewhere else, then you would not be fulfilling her other rights, which are feeding, clothing, and all of these other rights. That's why if it comes to the point where a person feels that they have to be separate from their wife, still keep it inside of the house. And one more hadith, inshaAllah. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. That the best or the most perfect of believers in terms of their iman are those who have the best of akhlaq. وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. And the best of you are those who treat your women folk the best. So two parts of this hadith, both of them very important. The first part, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the perfect mu'min, the mu'min who has the perfect level of iman, is someone who has the best akhlaq. The better your akhlaq is, the better or the stronger you are as a mu'min. Remember, akhlaq is something the ulama have explained. Sometimes akhlaq, they've asked the question, is akhlaq something that a person naturally has? Some people are more naturally good-mannered, have good character, have the ability to put a smile on their face, are just more warm and welcoming. Other people are a bit more distant, they find it a bit more difficult to show akhlaq to the people. So if someone looks at them and says, this person may not have good akhlaq, Even just because the person is uncomfortable sometimes, they're not a person who smiles a lot, they're not a person who's very comfortable talking to other people. So they've asked the question, is akhlaq something that a person naturally has, or is it something that a person learns, that you learn akhlaq? So they've said that it's a bit of both. You have to have a bit of both. The person who's already naturally affectionate and warm and kind and has kindness and smiles and, you know, looks out for other people, then they work on whatever they have weakness in, then this person will end up having the best of akhlaq. And someone who feels that they have a lot of shortcomings, they need to work on that. Remember, akhlaq is something the ulama of tasawwuf, they explain that the physical akhlaq, the way a person interacts with someone else, is a reflection of the condition of a person's ruh, or the condition of a person's inside, of a person's batin. That if a person cleanses their batin, cleanses their inside, does a lot of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gets rid of anything that they feel is problematic, they get rid of, I've got too much anger, I need to work on that. I have a habit of speaking bad about other people, I need to work on that, I need to get rid of that. I have a habit of lying, I need to get rid of that. Any bad characteristic they feel inside of themselves, they work on that, then it will reflect on their outward actions, the way they talk to other people, the way they are with other people, the way they feel that they are absolutely nothing. Tawadu. Remember, tawadu is the engine of all the akhlaq, is the power source. Tawadu, when a person feels that they are nothing, a person feels that I am absolutely nothing. And when you feel that you are absolutely nothing, you don't care if someone swears at you, you don't care if someone hurts you, you don't care if anything happens. You'll always be nice and kind. And you see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba ikram, all of the pious people who came after them, they felt themselves to be absolutely nothing. That I am nothing. So if someone swears at me, why should I get angry? I think of myself worse than what that person has said about me. So when a person goes to that stage, then it's real akhlaq, it's not fake akhlaq. You smile, but you don't like the guy. You act nice to him when you see him, but in your heart you don't like them. It doesn't exist, because you feel yourself to be the worst thing upon the earth. So why would you treat somebody else in a bad way? So many stories of the pious or ulama, when people mock them. Someone said, your beard looks like my goat's beard. They don't get angry. They say, if I die upon iman, Allah Ta'ala enters me into Jannah, then my beard is better than your goat's beard. But if I die without iman, and I'm punished by Allah Ta'ala, then your goat's beard is better than my beard. They don't take things seriously. They're very cool. They're very relaxed. They know that, you know what? I am absolutely nothing. Someone came to the king, Ma'mun. Ma'mun was one of the great rulers of the Abbasid Empire. And they came into his court and they said, where is Ma'mun? I have an issue to discuss with him. And someone said, Ma'mun is sleeping. It was Qaylula time, so he was napping, he was sleeping. So he walked out, and this person, so when he was there, he said, is this the time to sleep? And then he walked out. So the person said, I followed this man. And all I could hear saying, he was talking to himself, he was saying, who are you to ask, is this the time to sleep? Who are you? He's talking to himself, saying, who are you to ask if this is the time to sleep? If somebody wants to sleep, then what's the problem with them sleeping? Because he became angry, I have a problem, I want Ma'mun to help me. Ma'mun's not there, so he made this comment, like we do out of frustration. Is this the time to sleep? I have a problem, I want him to help me. But as soon as he walked out, the ihsas came in, who am I? I'm nobody. Who am I to say somebody should be sleeping, somebody should be waking? He said he was admonishing himself and he was crying. Who are you to say that somebody should not be sleeping at this time? And he kept on saying it to himself, kept on saying it to himself. Because in their eyes, the pious people feel that they are very, very, they are nothing. You respect them, you do not respect them, they don't care. Because they are already feel themselves to be worse than you regard them. So this is the key to all of good akhlaq. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. The best of you are those who treat your women folk in the best manner. And you have a hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. I am the best of you towards the women. I treat my wives in the best possible manner. And we see this in the hadith. Anybody else from the Sahaba, we don't find all the small details about how they lived with their wives, but we find those details from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes one of his wives said something to upset him. One of his wives said something about one of his other wives. You know, co-wives, they always have some kind of issue with the other. So one wife said something about the other wife. But you see the reaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He'd always be so calm. He'd always smile. One wife sends food for another wife, and the other wife takes it and she breaks the pot. In front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the food arrives, sent from the house of another wife. One wife takes the pot and she breaks it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiles.
And he makes it into a very light, very calm thing. And then he says, you have to now send food to her in return. So he was very, very calm, and he was very, very relaxed. He wasn't extremely anxious. He wasn't extremely always on edge. Unfortunately, we're like this. And that's why our family relationship with our wives, with our children, is always so frail. We're quickly angry. Why is it like, why? I don't like this. I don't like that. Why are you reacting like this? Why do you react like that? Remember, when a person lives with their wife, they have to have a lot of sabr. The hadith have come previously, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has created the woman from a rib, and then Rasulullah clearly says that the rib has i'wijaj, it has crookedness. So if you're going to live with your wife, know that there will be things that you don't like. Many times it's because it's the zuban, it's the tongue. Most of the time the issue that a man has with their wife is the tongue, because a wife will quickly say something back, or will get angry and say something, or will not think before saying something. So you know this, you expect this, so why do you get angry every single time? You have to learn to understand that this is what's going to happen. So a person needs to have sabr and know that there's no point fighting a losing battle. I will close my mouth and keep quiet. And this will save a person's relationship. Allah Ta'ala gives us a tawfiq and understanding. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.